Welcome back. Welcome back to Shamecast. Show about, what are we about?
It's about shame and guilt and other garbage emotions. And I'm Bronwyn.
And I'm AJ.
I was holding out the microphone for you.
Oh, thank you. I was like, I don't. I'm AJ. It's AJ, guys.
AJ.
Star of Shamecast, AJ Saloni.
Remember when I thought your Christian name was just AJ?
Just AJ. Yes, you thought it was not initials. Wait, your name's Anthony? I get that a lot. I'm like, yeah, I have a name.
What's J? What does that stand for?
Joseph.
Oh, that's Anthony Joseph. Very classic.
Is that Italian sounding?
I should have guessed. Oh my God. Italian? Not that you ever want to watch this because it'll probably be horribly re-traumatizing.
Okay.
But there's this thing I'm on listening. Netflix called Procession,
okay.
Which is about like, you know, Catholic priests being horrible.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking powerful.
Is it good? Okay, I might check it out if I'm in the right frame of mind.
It's interesting because it's survivors who are doing like drama therapy.
Okay.
Sort of. It's not drama therapy, but there's a drama therapist that's part of it. They're like doing this like recreation of stuff.
Like psychodramas?
In a sense, okay. Yeah, which you might like.
Ooh.
But they're... Yeah, but they're basically like doing these recreations of these traumatizing moments from these experiences.
What's it called? Let me write this down.
Procession.
Put this in my maybe notes on Netflix. Procession.
Yeah. You got to be in the right headspace. I literally did not stop crying. Okay. I cried the entire way through.
Were you like, poor AJ? You're like my podcast partner.
It really did. I mean, it did kind of. It made me sad.
I'm being an asshole, but I know. It's, yeah.
Also, because these are just like dudes. They're just like regular old Joe Schmoes.
It's terrible and stuff.
It's terrible. Yeah. So anyway.
That is all going to tie into what we're talking about today, weirdly enough.
Terrible dudes.
I can tie anything into terrible men.
I mean, it's like the 6 degrees of separation thing. It all leads back to terrible men.
To a terrible man. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
If you've learned anything on 100%. The show, I hope you've learned that.
That's the takeaway.
Spokesperson for the terrible men over here. Not that I'm as bad as some or all or whatever, but you know.
It's all a rich tapestry.
It is. It's all a rich tapestry of gross, awful men. And I'm here to tell the story.
I'm glad that I have so much I can say about this, obviously.
Yeah.
But how are you? Anything you just like want to chat for a minute? Like, how's life?
Yeah, life is good. This was like heavy week for me. So this week was the 17th, would have been the 10-year anniversary for me and Spencer. And then the 18th is a year since my dad passed away. So those two things, now I don't ever feel any of them on a real level. I think I feel fine as per usual. I think everything's fine. I had a bad day on the 18th, which is my dad's 1 year. So that was a bit of a tough day for whatever reason. I don't know. And I kind of made it about other stuff, which is typically me. I was mad about other things. Everything else in the world pissed me off that day. I didn't feel any grief. I just was mad about other stuff. But it was probably all that kind of shit tied in.
Did you remember that it was the anniversary?
Oh, yeah. Or did it come to you later? My mom like went out of town that day so as to like not wake up here kind of thing. It was a thing. But it was cool. We got through the day. Yeah. Went down to see Carl. So I had to straighten out some stuff with him. So it was good to catch up with him and, I don't know. It was a weird day. It was not a good day by any means.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a, you know, and then I started to feel like the guilt thing. I started to be like, shouldn't I be like honoring my dad today? Shouldn't today be like some nice thing? Shouldn't I not be like a fucking asshole today? So it was a weird day. The day before was not as weird. It was weird to be like, whoa, it would have been 10 years. And Spencer and I we're like meeting up on Monday to kind of like close the chapter, you know, like we're like, she's moving to Philly. I'm like, I'm not really going to see the cats anymore. Maybe we just catch up one more time and kind of get the rest of my stuff, saying goodbye to the cats. And like, I'll see you out there somewhere, you know, kind of thing. Which is cool. You know, it's good that things are this way. We've talked a lot about how like, thank God everything is the way it is right now. But it's weird. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird to usually I'd just be disappearing. You know what I mean? If it was just, if I had my way, I would have talked to her since last May.
I think that both you and Spencer have tried really hard to like figure out how to communicate in a way that makes
tough
sense through this.
Because I like don't make it easy to be like, fuck you, or like, are you okay? You know what I mean? I leave you in this limbo where you don't know what to do and you feel bad and you want to help.
Yes.
And you need advice maybe because I've known you for 100 years and it's all so weird. Where are the boundaries? And Spencer did a really good job with like boundary, boundary, boundary. And I did a really good job with like, okay, okay, okay. Because I need them. You know what I mean? I'm not good with seeing those lines. And I don't know. Like, I can't have this I'll give you an example. Like the night that we sort of touched on where like the last time I took LSD and watched BoJack and had this like horrific downward spiral of, you know, whatever it is.
Which is pretty typical if you watch BoJack, it is. Just say.
But maybe not with a head full of acid. You know, maybe it was a bad call.
That's going to make it worse. 40-some
years old. Like, maybe it's just not a good idea. although, you know, you've heard me be like, it's a great idea before. It's not. It's a bad idea. It's a terrible idea. Yeah. And I got all fucked up for a couple of days about like you know, people have always said to me like, oh, you should watch BoJack. It's you. You should check out BoJack. It's you. You should watch BoJack. It's you. And, you know, I was like, cool, like for a while. And then I watched a couple episodes where I was like, oh no, I don't want this to be my life. I don't want this to be my legacy, my reflection. I don't want this to be how it is. Yeah. And it's always kind of been that way. And it's not cute and it's not funny and it's not charming. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, you know, I can make things all that, but it's not at its core. It's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. So that's what I think that show does so beautifully. Is show that it's not funny.
No.
Like, at first it starts as kind of funny and that weird romanticizing of addiction and trauma.
Sure.
But you see what actually happens.
And it's bad stuff. And you know, animation, bad. Like we touched on, gets away with, like, you can't really weave that into, you can't do that with live action. Or not well. Mm-hmm. Or you can't, I don't know how to explain
it. Not the same way. Yeah.
But it was just, you know, it was a weird thing to, and I was like, I don't know about this. I don't know if I want the tragic, poor AJ still kind of got it all, but like, your life's a fucking mess. It's cute when you want it to. I don't know. I just was like, I don't, this is gross. I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
So it was a weird couple of days for me to like digest all that and not like glorify being like, I'm kind of like BoJack, you know? Like, oh no, yeah. I don't want things to end dark like that for me. I don't know. It was a weird eye-opening thing. And that's where the boundary thing started. She was like, you can't ask me to watch these episodes and say like, it made me feel that you can't do this to me anymore. You can't say like, this is fucked up. Like, you know, and it wasn't like that. She wasn't like shitty about it. She was just like boundary, like bound. I can't talk about this with you. I can't do this with you. I'm not going to watch these and reflect on them and be like, oh my God, it's so, you know.
Yeah. I can't go there with you.
Yeah.
It's not actually my job or responsibility to go there with you.
Hey, we're going to have some, like, you know, we can catch up. We can always talk. You ever want to, you know, whatever, but I can't be open to your, like, what you're going through emotionally right now. And that's the boundary we've held. You know, it's been very casual conversation here and there. And we're just going to, like, you know, I hate to be like, we're going to wrap it up on Monday, but it's kind of like that. Like, when am I going to see Spencer again? You know what I mean? I'm not going to go to West Philly and be like, hey, like, your ex-husband's here. Check it. Like, how's it going? So it was that kind of week, but still good. I held it together pretty well, put together two really good days in a row, like building into the weekend. And I don't know, my life is different now. Like I always say, my life is just a little bit different now.
You didn't drink?
I did not. I've not picked up
Look
a drink.
Look at that.
I've not even come close to a drink. Not to be like, oh, I've got, like, you know, I know no, I'm in trouble when I get to certain, you know, I've tried to describe this recently. Like I go through these phases where I'm sober, where all I'm thinking about is like, when am I going to be able to do this again? When am I going to get like a weekend to myself? When can I do this one more time? When can I get, Jesus Christ, if only I could have a fucking, you know, that's my mindset a lot. And then once I start doing that, it's fucking over. It might be a week, it might be 6 months, but it's over.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't feel like that. Even when I have all this shit that I can't deal with, I'm like, well, you can't do that because I will literally ruin a bunch of people's lives if I picked up a drink right now. I know that's not like a reason or a good way to stay sober, but there's just a lot. I'm like thinking about consequences in a way that I never have before. Anyway, so that's how my week's been.
That's heavy. I mean, the weeks have been heavy. I did want to say, so we recorded an episode that was about abortion. Mm-hmm. And I scrapped it for a few reasons. I just really didn't like it. Like, I knew I didn't like it because I was dreading editing it.
Sure.
And usually if I'm excited about editing, I like the episode. And even with episodes that I didn't like initially, when I start editing, I'm usually like into a groove. There were also some like sound issues. It wasn't as well recorded. I was using a different mic and it was all fucked up in a way. So it was listenable, but it was just like a lot of in and out. That's neither here nor there. What I realized also is not only did I not like it, I think I really didn't actually feel – it's not that I didn't feel ready to talk about that. It's just – I think I was still talking about it in the rote memory way that I describe it to people when it's that elevator speech of what happened.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So there was an emotional connection to it for me that wasn't present, I think.
Okay.
And that's, I think I felt awareness. A real – Yeah. Ooh. Well, I just, this is something I've been thinking about a lot because of everything that's happening in our country. And I think I felt a lot of urgency to put that out there really fast for the fact that so many of us are struggling with this right now.
You know, it was the second time we recorded and we kind of were like, we have to get something out there about this, you know?
Yeah. Which, and I think when we initially kind of went into emergency mode in 2020, I think that there was a different sense of urgency in that moment mm-hmm. that I was motivated by, also had some distance from, because although I was so angry about what was happening, it was not about me.
Right.
You know,
you could not identify with the experience personally, kind of.
Right.
Thing.
Yeah. I had that emotional distance and I felt a certain amount of responsibility as a white human to do my part to the best of my ability in that moment.
Right.
Whereas now I feel very, I'm going to be honest, AG, I am terrified and extremely depressed.
Those are two very valid feelings.
Yeah, and it just the more I hear about all of the trigger laws that are going to go into effect essentially as soon as this happens, I just want to get out of here. I don't know. Life is fucked. So everything's fucked up, but we'll got this show.
We'll regroup. Let's take a week and like get our ducks in a row. I should do a little more research if we're going to speak about that kind of stuff. You don't have to get into your story, but we won't just like let it go and not talk about it. It's not exactly what we do here. We don't want to shut the fuck up and not say anything when terrible things are happening. So we'll revisit that for sure. So what are we talking about today?
Gross. Okay, so my idea around this, generally men are gross in always, but signed, sealed, delivered.
Yes.
AJ brought up a really good point during another episode, which may or may not be included. You were saying that we should really talk about like the gross toxic man culture within hippie culture.
Yes.
Subset. And then I was like, that's great because I want to talk about the gross like new agey slash like nerdy toxic man culture mm-hmm. that I had been a part of mm-hmm. for my whole childhood mm-hmm. and life.
Oh, I love
so, this. So I think it's perfect
yeah.
because I think that there is an expectation that in certain communities, the toxic masculinity that is so often present is somehow not present because these men have like an intellectualized idea of what that is.
Absolutely.
And I don't think Ooh, absolutely. That's true.
Right. Yes. Yes. Well, I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying.
I would love to hear your thoughts first because hippies, I only have like bare experience with them. Bare minimum.
Let's talk a little bit about my background. I'm not a hippie per se. I love fish. Everybody knows I love fish. The band Fish. The
Wait, how
fish.
Can we not know?
Big fan of fish. If y'all are just tuning in for the first time, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. It's the only thing that I nerd out about. Like, I'm a huge fish nerd. I like break down stats and set lists and jam times and misplaced songs and songs that don't usually open that open. And that's, I mean, I've like almost figured out a formula to quantify how good a fish show is. I'm a big dork when it comes to that, which lets me be nerdy every once. I'm not a nerd. You know, I'm not a dorky, nerdy person. So it's good to nerd out every once in a while on something. So fish is my nerd out thing.
That's true. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm 42 years old. I started listening to fish when I was 17. So like 97. So you start with like the late.
Really?
Yeah. So like the late 90s, like hippie culture. So when I was like a late teen, it was cool to be like a hippie dude. Like it was the tail end of that. Like the mid to late 90s, it was like a thing. Like fish was a thing. Having long mm-hmm. hair, being a cool weed smoking, tie dye wearing mm-hmm. fish dude was cool.
Which is so interesting, right? Because it's harkening back to like flower power
Absolutely.
Slash real hippies
Absolutely.
Of the 60s and
Weirdly,
and
the
90s
kind of echoed the 60s in that way. You know, like the 80s yeah. and the 50s. It's weird how like decades just kind of matched together like that. So it was a weird like...
Yeah.
Sort of 60s renaissance, but not as far as ideals. You know, we had like two more right. Woodstocks and like, you know, all this bullshit that's like, hey, like the new age hippies. So you have this like this fake idealism.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just really fast, mm-hmm. I wanted to say that that Woodstock was notoriously awful.
It was a nightmare. I talked about this last night. So, like Kelly had never. I was yeah. like, you don't know what happened to Woodstock 99? Oh my God, it was burned.
There's
the
a whole documentary about
like
it.
Sexual
People
assault.
Fucking
it's
died.
Like the worst. And like, and the governor yeah. of New York at the time was like, fish had a festival with 50,000 people and nothing happened. What the fuck is wrong with these Woodstock 99 people?
Anyway, is that seriously a thing?
I swear to God.
Oh my God,
it's like
I'm so angry.
One of the PH but. Farmer's Almanacs. Anyway, I digress. So I grew up thinking that was like super cool. When I was like a teenager, I wanted long hair and I listened to 70s rock and 60s rock and hippie stuff. It was
yeah.
cool. It was like cool. It was like ripped jeans and necklaces and weed mm-hmm. and like... just cool fucking people. So I thought it was super cool. My parents, like, weren't hippies by any means, but would casually talk about, like, you know, weed and stuff, or listening to Led Zeppelin, which is not really, yep, you know, just like cool stuff. I thought that was fucking cool.
Same. Absolutely same.
So when I was younger, that was cool. Like, not like now. You're like, mm-hmm, you're a fish, you fucking dork. I mean, that's what you would say these days. You're like, cool, man. It's just not cool anymore.
I don't know if it was ever really cool.
Right. I thought it was. So I grew up in that scene. I went to, like, a bunch of fish shows and wore baggy, yeah, pants and tie-dyes and took all kinds of drugs and just fucking, you know, free, yeah, love and music. And we, and you know, when you're 19, 20, 21, you don't fucking know. You're just like, I don't, yeah, want to do things the way everybody else does them. And I just want to have a good time. And this is important. This is like church to me. Going to fish shows is like where I get my spiritual experiences from.
You know, and also, like, I'm thinking about the what the 90s meant in terms of that aesthetic, because I think it was very much an aesthetic, like you said, not really about ideals. And the 90s, like, I think that there was a contingent of that that went the jam band route, mm-hmm, but there's also a contingent that went the grunge route.
Yes.
So those, the ideals of, like, actual 60s, 70s hippies were very much like, we have a purpose, we're hoping for a better tomorrow, yes, we're like, love, organized, peace, love, because that's important and revolutionary.
Overall.
And then we're just like, no, everything's horrible and, yes, we hate it.
So let's back up a little bit, because you have that whole movement from the 60s that you're talking about, which, like, just ends and fails, and then now you're trying to recreate this, and it's really just a music thing, and people are like, Fish just mirrors the Grateful Dead. Same thing. It's a bunch of fucking idiots, right, that are high and want to go follow a band, play 45-minute, uh-huh, songs. And kind of. Uh-huh. But to us, that's, yeah, important. That is, like, religious stuff. Catching a 40-minute jam is like, oh, my God. I mean, it's just big stuff. Anyway, that's where I was. That's the camp that I fell in. I was there, mm-hmm, for the music, all music. Literally, a beautiful woman could have come up and talked to me during a fish show, and I would be like, please don't talk to me. I'm trying to pay attention to this ghost, wow, jam. Literally. Wow. So I was not there for that kind of thing. It's all about the music to me. Don't talk to me. Don't expect me to dance. I literally stand there and stare at the stage with my mouth open for 3 hours. That's how I do fish shows.
So it's dissociation.
Yes, completely. I'll call it a spiritual, cool, experience, but it's a 3 hour dissociation.
I mean, where's the line?
I don't
know. You know, it's hard.
They're the same thing, right? It is hard to say, yeah, what the line is. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience. And I did not have a lot of I didn't like the people. So this is a weird thing for me. So I love the music. I love going to fish shows, but I never really liked the people. Especially the dudes,
yeah,
because I have a theory that, like, all these hippie tie-dye wearing motherfuckers are, like, the original, like, nice guys. So these are your nice guys. You see a guy in a tie-dye shirt, 100%. They're a nice guy. They listen to cool hippie music. They're chill, mm-hmm, drug friendly, free love and shit. They understand, man. They know you better than you know yourself. They're those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the wretch. So it's like the birth.
That.
It might not be the birth that I can't speak about. Like, I don't know what that looked like before a certain time. From my experience, sure, I know a lot of nice guys who, like, in particular the Grateful Dead. We'll say, I don't want to, not that there aren't, like, fish assholes, and you have, like, more experience with that kind of thing, right? So it's, yeah, not really like a band thing, but I'm taking, like, a stereotypical guy, 10 years older than me, fish tie-dye shirt, a little gross looking, but, like, uh-huh, he's a cool dude. Like, he's a, mm-hmm, cool, understanding, down-to-earth, sensitive, appreciates women kind of guy, because he's, like, a hippie, right? And they're not, like, mm-hmm, mean. They're not, like, abusive. They're not, like, violent. Mm-hmm. They're just, like...
Would these people call themselves feminists?
Possibly.
Or are they... See, because this is why I'm thinking about this. I am remembering Kyle, the guy that I talked about. And I think that he, and I don't remember because it was 1,000 years ago, but I have this recollection of him being very, like, bothered by the word feminism.
Okay. Like,
and so I feel like even with all this, like, everything's chill, whatever, there's still
not
be this
feminist,
like, weird.
Right. Because, yeah, that's an attack on them. It's like, wait a minute. Wait,
yeah,
a minute.
Like, well, I'm a good guy.
Yeah, right.
Like,
you don't need feminism when you have a bunch of good guys.
Right.
You don't need feminism.
Yeah. And I'm not sure about that. It's just a little hunch.
Right. No, I like that. Know? I like that. Because the men I'm speaking of are toxic, gross, disgusting people. I know a lot of really gross, older hippie guys who are, like, the worst. Like, who prey, yeah, on, like, 20-year-old girls. So it's, mm-hmm, it's a nice little scheme you got going here. Because you're a, yeah, cool, older, paternal figure who's chill. You're not loud. Nobody's heard you yell. You might get a little, mm-hmm, fucked up sometimes, or get a little too excited, or a little too jealous, or a little too, you touched a nerve kind of thing, but you're not, mm-hmm, a bad guy. You're not like some fucking pig. Not you're not guy? Some creepy guy. You deserve, yeah, a hot young girl because you're a nice older guy with a tie-dye on.
I just had this. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you got it.
I had this like thing kind of moment, and other people are going to be like screaming at the podcast when I say this and be like, of course, duh. But here's the problem. Well, and here's one of the problems. So we have original hippies mostly, and I, in terms of the demographics I saw represented, mostly cisgender white people, right? Straight people, sort of appropriating this idea of this sense of like socialism, which is basically appropriated from cultures that existed before capitalism, right? So that's already a problem. And they're trying to take this whole like wacky do free love thing from cultures that actually knew how to do it right.
Exactly.
And then it gets filtered through the lens of privilege.
Yes.
And patriarchy, right? And then, so that's 60s, 70s, right? Obviously that falls apart because their intentions are not horribly actually yes. aligned, right? And then we have the 90s is a copy of a copy. So it's even more diluted and even more full of shit. So that's the thing. Like, it's so disingenuous. And even with the best of intentions, you can't, it just, it doesn't work if you're starting from a place of privilege with no sense of the history of what that kind of social change
right.
or revolution or way of living
right.
looks like.
It's like tripping with Gwyneth Paltrow. It's like the height of like white male privilege. It really is. These are mm-hmm. trust fund babies. These are like entitled, creepy white yeah. dudes who are like, hey man, I listen to the Dead. I listen to Fish. Yeah. I'm into cool stuff. It's cool. I'm cool. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. I'm curious if you ever enacted that persona being a man in this scene.
Definitely. Now, not with like those kinds of, I won't say without those intents. Like, I never used my power in that way for like sex, let me say.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But I've definitely like, you know, said some bullshit. You know, I've sure. definitely said some bullshit to women that were probably much younger than me, being like, mm-hmm. I know. And even sometimes mm-hmm. I didn't know if that was true or not. You know what I mean? Even sometimes right. I was like, oh, someone who like understands me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's the genesis of my relationship with Spencer. She was 20 years old when I met her, and I was like a 30 right. some year old man. And it's, yes. I was like a hippie dude who liked fish, same as her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Alcoholic yeah. hippie guy.
yep. Yeah.
You don't know my pain and my experience, and I've just never found, no one's ever really loved me, you know?
Mm,
so yes, mm-hmm. I've done that before. Absolutely. Lasted yeah. almost 10 years.
It's important, I think, to remember that as much as this stuff is harmful, I think that a lot of dudes get defensive and caught up because they say, well, I don't do this. I would never do that to right. anyone. Like, because you're not doing it on purpose.
And you also take it to the most extreme example. Like, I might say something like, I've never, like, put my, like, willingly forced myself on a woman or something. It's like, well, that's step 10. Okay.
Yeah.
So just because yeah. you didn't do step 10, let's retract 1 through 9. Let's see what happened right. there. Yeah.
Because plenty of those steps can still be damaging.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think this speaks to the older men taking advantage of younger women piece, because consciously or not, that person that you're taking, you're like luring into the relationship hasn't usually had enough life experience.
Nope. You go from high school relationships to a 50-year-old man.
Or anything to even know who they are. I didn't know who the fuck I was at 22, nope. 23. Who the nope. fuck was, I don't know.
No, you're trying to find that in other people. Who am
yeah,
I?
Yeah, and you kind of like fuck up together at that age mm-hmm. as opposed to one person knowingly, you know, I fucked up a bunch.
And but, constantly you know, I'm just shaming gonna... you for your mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm older and more intelligent and you're an idiot. You're fucking right. everything up. You're fucking everything up.
Yeah. So I think there's this, there can be this delay before the younger person recognizes like, oh, this is not where I want to be
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah. And also don't forget, those men are constantly insecure too. There's an element mm-hmm. that they're constantly worried that you're like scheming and cheating yep. on them and like, you know, up to yeah. something. And like, it's this constant like insecurity that never goes away. And it becomes this
yep.
whole web of possession and psychological abuse and intimidation and keeping someone, you know, monitoring who they talk to and what they say and what they wear mm-hmm. and, you know, all these things. And you're like, well, it's just to make me feel better. It's just to make me feel comfortable. And it's like, it's terrible. It's terrible stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's impactful. And like, you know, I've had to hear things like, hey, all the times you said and did this, I'm still trying to, like, you know, something as simple as, like, you made fun of me every time I put on a song I liked, and now I, like, don't want to play music for people. And I'm like, I thought I was just being, like, you know, how dudes are. Nah, man, I'm going to play what I want to play. Don't play this shit. Yeah. Don't play this stupid shit. I don't like this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it becomes this whole, like, self-conscious thing, you know? Yeah. It's like, ugh, yeah, there's fucking consequences for your actions. My least favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. Consequences. Oh, man.
So, speaking of not hippies, but another subculture of the 90s, goth culture.
Goth culture.
There were a lot of creeps in that scene. And okay. So when I was in high school, I guess like right at the point, there was an 18-hour overnight. So I guess it was right at the beginning of my college years.
Okay.
When I was at Moore before I went to San Francisco. There was a place called Shampoo. Do you remember Shampoo?
I've heard of Shampoo, yes.
Yeah. I have no idea if Shampoo still exists.
People were like, Friday's like underage night, you should go to Shampoo. And I was like, what? Yes. So you want to go to a club? Like,
yeah. Yeah. So there were certain nights that were either like underage nights or they were just like over 18 nights and there was no alcohol or whatever. And it was like a little mini rave situation. I've heard of this.
Yeah, people were always trying to get me to go to that.
I used to go a lot with a particular group of my friends. And here's one of the most disgusting things about Shampoo. There was a hot tub in there.
No.
There was a hot tub.
That's worse than a wave pool at like Dorney Park.
Do you know what bitch went in that hot tub?
You?
This bitch.
No.
This bitch. I did.
No.
I'm amazed that I don't have every
disease. First of all, how big is this hot tub?
Not that big.
How many people were in this hot tub?
I would say maybe 10.
10 people in a hot tub. Okay.
Yeah. I would say I might have known like two of them.
Now, is this like a bathing suit hot tub or is this like you take
no, all your clothes off and jump in the hot tub? No, I just got in my clothes.
Oh, you got it in your whatever you're wearing, your JNCOs.
I don't remember what cocktail of things. Here's the thing. I've never tried hard drugs.
Okay.
But I definitely smoked a lot of weed.
Sure.
And at that point, probably blunts.
Okay.
Specifically. And I definitely drank before we got there.
Okay.
Obviously, they weren't going to serve us alcohol. They had a 21 and over thing too, but you need a wristband, that kind of deal. So some cocktail of like probably 40s and blunts. And the rest of the people I was with were doing, do you remember DXM? It was like robo-tripping.
Okay, Robitussin. Okay. So it was that
you
kind of thing.
Take a shit ton of Robitussin.
I remember Cortisine and like Robitussin, but DXM is not one that I was. But yeah, sure. The weird. I know what
I
you
think
mean.
It was DXM was like a for some sort of substance that was in one of these cough medicines.
Okay.
So you just do a whole bunch of the gel caps and then trip, apparently. But not after throwing up all over someone's car.
My brother, Carl, was big on this. He'd get to eat the whole thing of pills. And you throw up and then you kind of trip for 5 hours and then school's in that. I'm like, nah, man, school sucks, but I'm good. I'm not going to do it that way.
Like, why? Yeah. Why?
No.
So a lot of my friends were into this, and so they were doing that and whatever. So I was probably really drunk and high and thought this was a great idea and wasn't thinking about things like hepatitis.
Right. Floating head in that hot tub.
Because the hot tub's definitely not hot enough to kill the germs.
No, it's not boiling like, water. Yeah.
No. So I'm in this hot tub with like a whole bunch, probably mostly dudes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just like maybe me and like one other girl,
like,
you know,
nice.
All being creepy. Mm-hmm. And I realized recently how much of the fact that like my mom really wanted to have like a sex positive household, but didn't have the boundaries around what was safe.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
That's a key factor.
Yeah. It's a key factor. And her instincts were very, my mom was the sort of person that, so she was a survivor of sexual assault mm-hmm. because she came to realize and recognize a lot of these things right after I was born. She had this, I think, and this is just me piecing the things together after the fact. I think that her fear of this happening to me would cloud her judgment of whether something was safe or not, which then left me very dysregulated about when it could be safe to tell mom about something versus not. And also having to regulate her emotional state because the times that she thought something was happening to me, she couldn't do that
and
she would freak out.
I can only imagine. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time, oh God, there was a little kid at one of the Asian boys I had a crush on when I was in preschool. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but these two girls were like whispering about me, like over in the corner with this kid, and he got mad and came over and bit me really hard on my chest.
Jesus.
Now, I have no idea what happened. My parents didn't know about this because my mom freaked out when she saw it.
Sure.
I guess they didn't write an incident report. Maybe I didn't say anything.
Okay.
I could see myself just like not saying anything
to a teacher. There's a little more loose back then. Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. So it was huge, nasty bite. But it was clearly like a child-sized bite, right? My mom like basically interrogated me about this for like what seemed like the entire
Yikes. Night. Like, you're not telling me something who actually did that. Oh, my yes. goodness. Yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
And I remember being terrified and confused and so upset because I felt like I did something
wrong. Like it was
wrong.
Your fault. Sure, sure. Common reaction.
Which is exactly the thing my mom didn't want me to
right,
feel.
Right.
But that's what happened. So I internalized a lot of this as if I decide that I am comfortable with the way that a man speaks to me, regardless of my age or experience, that it's not creepy.
Yes. Ooh. Say that again, because I feel like a lot of people feel that way.
Then I'm mature enough to handle it,
yeah.
and I have the power back.
Yeah.
And I don't Ugh. Have to feel Ugh. Like, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I'm getting like the creeps
talking
about this.
I know. It sucks.
It's so shitty. So yeah, I remember when I was like 10, there was a creepy stepdad that I think I talked about on here a long time ago. And something that I still to this day, I don't know exactly what was going on, but something that was creepy happened
okay.
to me with this dude.
Okay.
And I was so freaked out because I didn't know what to do.
Sure.
And my thought was, I can't tell mom because she'll freak out.
She'll freak out.
Yeah. Ugh. So the person I told was my dad.
Ugh.
And I can only imagine what was going on for him because I was like, please don't tell mom.
Right.
Please don't
tell
mom. So
now he's got to manage both of those things.
Yes. And also figure out what to do with his fuckhead stepfather.
Yeah.
Because I could just picture my dad's head being like, Neil Gale probably went up to him and was like, if anything ever happens with my daughter again, I will kill
you. Right, right, right. Very
with
cool.
a smile on
Very
his face.
Calm ponytail.
Yeah.
You know. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. My dad was the genuine nice guy that every nice guy really actually wants to be.
I'm picturing 90s Neil Gale looking like Tim Robbins in High Fidelity.
Stop! No, okay, but that guy will never actually, like, my dad is what every guy like that wants to be
isn't. Right.
Your dad is that.
Yes, I love it. Neil Gale, the original.
Yeah, so shit like that. So I never felt comfortable actually talking to my mom. And then my mom would just like assume things were going on that weren't. She saw things where they just weren't happening. And that led to me having all kinds of weird things that I just kept from her because she would freak out about stuff
this
for no
is,
reason.
This is untreated trauma. I mean, I've been like that. I have these reactions a lot too. I feel like really when people are like, do you think something's going on? If somebody asks me a question like that about a child or a woman or I like have to be like, I don't know because I'm very reactionary. I think everyone's been abused. I think I like have this real, like everyone's in danger. The slightest sign of anything that looks, I'm like, oh my God, something happened to this child. Something happened to this woman. Something happened to this person. I can tell. I can feel it. It's happened to me. I know what it looks like. And you're hyper vigilant and you can't imagine if I had a daughter and I was, you know, oh my God, that would be so... I would do more harm than good kind of thing. If you don't have the right, I don't know, tools.
Self-awareness.
Yes. Yeah, all those things. It can be.
I realized that I started this with the goth kid and this isn't going to come back to that. So I'm just going to quickly say that and see if I can edit it in. And if not. So in the goth scene, in the shampoo scene, there was a guy whose name I'm not even going to mention.
Okay.
But he was an older dude. Exactly what you're picturing. Like he would have the fake fangs.
Yep.
And like, dressed always in black, like very like the guru of the goth scene. And if you've ever seen SLC Punk, that those gurus of the scene, that's that shit. And they're always a little older and they're always a little out of place and they're just a little too old to be in the club.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. So he was exactly this person who would target younger women and was always had some younger girl under his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember all of us as teenagers, like going to this dude's house.
And he probably had a name like Bang. You know, his name wasn't Brian or something. His name was like, you know, the fuck ever, or Zipper or something.
You know what's funny? He had a completely average name.
Okay.
That was also just the name that everyone knew him by. And it was like almost creepier that way. That's I don't know. Huge. It was like saying,
like it's Chad. Ugh.
Yeah. And I just remember being in this space with all these people. I'm like, these people are like 20 years older than us. Like, isn't this weird?
Yeah.
Like, this seems a
Something's
little
wrong.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was just a little, just cherry on top of the grunge scene slash hippie scene slash goth scene.
Kind of scene you're going to have these creepy male leaders looking for younger women to manipulate in all kinds of ways. Scene. Yes, any scene.
It always comes back to creepy men. My God. All right. So leading into what I'm about to say, basically when I was in middle school, a couple of kind of important things happened. One is that my parents opened their marriage and my dad became involved with Wendy, who is now my stepmom.
Right.
And that in and of itself was not problematic, but some of the ways that I interpreted that as a teenager without knowing how to process it kind of were. That was a direct result of my parents getting involved in the SCA, the Society for Creative Anachronisms. Hopefully the entire SCA doesn't come for me after this.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
But at least it's on record.
It needs to be said. And I would tell you right now, I bet Wendy and my dad would say, yeah, absolutely, it's a thing. Without a doubt. I, through the SCA, which is a big medieval society, you can look it up. I've talked about it before on the show in case anyone's new here.
You've seen the pictures?
They dress up in medieval clothes. They have personas that are medieval and they do medieval shit all throughout medieval history, whatever. This attracts all kinds of humans, but there are definitely some subsets similar to what we're just talking about with a lot of older dudes, older kind of nice guy dudes, quote unquote, that are very attracted to this because a lot of younger, very innocent ladies are also attracted to this. A lot of bookish, nerdy ladies, myself included.
You mean young ladies who are nerdy who don't get a lot of attention? Maybe they want some attention from an older gentleman?
And don't necessarily have strong family supports or social networks.
Yeah.
You know? It's also like there are baronies and there's kingdoms, so there's hierarchies. So like there's a lot of like power structures in place, right? So even though that's not literally true, like this is a reenactment, it's fantasy. There's a lot of role play. There's a lot of like, I'm in a position of power. Like there's a lot of that. And I think it plays out sometimes in very toxic, unhealthy and abusive ways.
Well, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard not to, like, if you're a person that has craved attention and power your whole life and you get to be a baron in this made up thing with all these like people that are really into you, that's going to do something for you, you know? And that was Tristan, who I talked about before. Tristan was the Baron of Bikale.
Yes.
And he was a fucking misogynistic creep. And he's dead now. And I have no regrets about saying that about him. He really did a number on my mom in a way that I think directly contributed to how she began to fall apart. And he said horrible things to me, to my friends, and was just a bad, bad guy. And he was not an exception. There were a lot of men that he knew that would be a part of my life that were also like that with me. And I'm not going to name them. I don't feel like I need to go on some sort of vendetta against them, but it's like, so one of my mom's really close friends, which now I'm like, wow, I cannot believe it took me this long to figure out what the fuck was going on. That was wrong for me. He was a blacksmith also in the SCA. And he and my mom had sort of a thing. At this point, my parents were open, like I said,
right.
So they were kind of digging around a little bit. And he would come and visit us because he lived in West Virginia with his wife. They were poly. And when he would stay, I was probably like 14. Okay. I remember because I was about to go into high school. And he would talk about my body. He would tell me about like what it would be like if we had sex together, and like how what he's like when he has sex with people, like all that kind of shit. And my parents would like leave me alone with this person, and like I just like can't.
Wow.
I feel like my dad at that point was so disconnected that he didn't even really know what was going on because he was with Wendy and he wasn't staying at the house as much because of a lot of things. Because also hoarded and also everything was terrible with him and my mom. And I don't think that my mom, like I said, I don't think that she saw it as problematic for some reason, because of her blind spots and because of what she didn't know about safety. So this was like pretty rare. I remember one time I like came downstairs and I wasn't wearing a bra because like I just like whatever. And I was like coming downstairs, my breasts bounce and he like commented on it. Ugh. Like I'll never forget that.
Ugh.
You know?
Oh, and that's all like, stuff. You know what I mean? That's not just like, well, things were said to me. That's stuff, man. That stuff doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not okay. And that's still like assault. You know, that's still like verbal sexual assault. That's still like, ugh.
And it was like, so casual.
Yeah. Just like, no big deal. Like Polly makes it okay to, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people, yeah, just to be a creep because it's all free love. You know, it's all just, we're all just right. loving sexual beings. And that's
not the point of those things.
No.
You know? No. And it taints the way that we think about ethical non-monogamy because I practice that way. That's how I like my relationships to be at this point, you know? And that does not mean that you are a fucking creep that takes advantage of people or flirts and sexualizes underage girls.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, ain't that's not cute.
And if you're not like, and you're right, it gives that kind of stuff a terrible name because like, you know, there was a time when like Spencer and I talked about being poly or open or whatever. And I didn't know what the fuck that meant. I just thought I got to be gross with other people. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I thought it meant.
It means, you know what it means, AJ? It means you get to make out with someone at 2 Street. And almost get murdered by a mummer. Call back.
It's the freaking weekend, baby.
If you're curious, you can listen to Murder by the Mummer Mob. That's a great episode. Yeah, so that was horrible. And the way that I like dealt with it was that I just said, okay, well, if I flirt back and if I'm okay with this, then it's not, then I have the power.
Right.
You know, and then I don't feel like I'm being exploited and I don't feel like I'm being sexualized or objectified. I didn't think about that consciously, but that's what I realized is happening or was happening at the time.
Okay.
So I can, this is the part that I think about, AJ. What does this guy think about that now?
Right.
Does he think what he was doing was wrong?
Right. I don't know. Question. Yeah. I don't know. That is the question. And that's a lot of the problem. A lot of these people just, they don't think it's wrong. And nobody told them it was wrong. And I did it in front of her parents and nobody said it was wrong.
Right. Exactly. And she was flirting back. She was asking for it. She wasn't wearing a bra.
Yeah. She came down the steps. She knew what she was doing. A 14-year-old girl. Yeah. That's fucking nice. That's fucking nice. So nobody gets held accountable. So the fucking gross cis white men don't get held accountable. And on and on it goes. And you can pretend to play some medieval game if you want and make it like that. And say, hey, they did it in the Middle Ages.
I remember another dude referring to me as jailbait at one
point.
That's
cute.
And I didn't know what that meant. Right. I was like, what does that mean? And I saw somebody else like hit him, like elbow like,
hey,
him and be
she's
like
12.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that was just common. I felt like anytime I went to an event, an SEA event, like someone was flirting with me who should not have been flirting with me.
Knights being knights, you know?
Yeah. And because they get to say, you know, m'lady or whatever,
so it's
like
okay.
Fine.
It's okay. Yeah.
Ugh. I think this is a big reason why I like dipped out of it at a certain point. I was like, ew, I don't like that. And I didn't know why. Again, none of this was stuff that I thought about at the time. But I think I was so kind of internally disgusted with what was going on that I was like, I don't really want to do this anymore. And it's interesting because my sibling's been in this his whole life. And he has like a really different experience. I think that it's been a lot better. But I also think that's because he has like a set of parents who can like parent properly and protect him.
Yeah.
And that was not really where my dad was at that point. My final kind of piece of this is just that, like, because of all of this shit, just the way that I felt like men related to me and what I was trying to sort of become sexually as a teenager, I also then, like, ended up hooking up with and sleeping with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because I thought that that was how – I thought that that felt good to do when really in a lot of those instances it probably wasn't.
I was just going to say like if you take my case with my experience, you know, I was sexually abused as a child, as I've said many times before, by a man of the church. Yeah. It completely takes my – you know, I have to fight the rest of my life now. Like it's not the same experience. I was not like, you know, out there sleeping with tons of people, but like I like – had this tendency to like want all the power in a relationship.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm taking back this power that was taken from me in a weird fucked up way. And it doesn't justify it. And I can sit here and be like, poor me, abuse, blah, blah, blah. It's why I am the way I am. Like, yeah, broke. You know, it doesn't matter. You have to be better. Like, I have to know where this comes from and what this is. And like any type of situation where I use my power, you know, to intimidate someone or to get what I want, or even if it's like a simple little like, you know, I've done like little tiny intimidation things just to get what I want, not like a sexual favor or something, anything, you know, just like I wanted to watch this. I wanted to listen to this. I wanted to have this for dinner. I wanted to, you know, and you just use that. And that stuff doesn't go away. It just builds up in your head. And then you see your partner have a reaction to everything that you like. They're like, you know, I have to be careful about every single thing that I say, because like if I upset this person, it's seven hours of fucking torture, you know.
Torture. Yeah.
And that's what it is called, what it is. You know, it's mm-hmm. brutal. You know, and I would have moments where I was like, this has to, like, it's been 8 hours. Why can't my brain stop being terrible? You know, it's just, and you're defeated, and then you say you're sorry for the thousandth time. And do you mean it?
Yeah.
And does it start all over again the next time something happens that you don't like? You know, it's like, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
And on it goes. And here you are talking about it on a podcast saying, like, I gotta be better. I gotta be better.
I just think about all the people that, like, I got involved with, like, who probably also weren't ready for that, and, like, what that did to them, and, like, what their side of that story looks like. Also, just imagine these people who are hooking up with me are also coming to my mom's crazy hoarded house full of weirdos.
Right.
Like, what was going on with their families that they thought that my house was a good place for them to be?
This is cool.
Who thought it was good for me? Like, what the fuck was going on?
Who was in charge here?
No one was in, charge. Was in charge. No one cared. Yeah. So I don't know. That's what I can say about that in this moment. I sometimes remember things that just, like, pops back and I'm like, ugh. You know, there's so many times that I'm like, that was unsavory.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good to talk about that stuff. You know, it's good to not. It's good to get that shit out, even when you're like, I don't know, like you said, these things occur to you and you're like, wait, that was not just like a little fun, that was fucked up. Yeah, it was bad stuff. But hey, we're doing the hard work here for you people. We're doing the tough work.
You're welcome.
So you don't have
once
to.
Again, you're welcome.
Man.
Great. That was a doozy.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
I feel tired.
Yeah. That was that was everything I got. I'm gonna take a nap now.
Yeah. If you want to do anything, like follow us or write us a thing, you can. Shamecast_official at Instagram.com. That never gets old. You can also send us an email if you have, you know, you want to say, listen, I know you want to say some shit about shitty men.
Seriously.
I know you do.
You can say it about me. Like, fuck you, AJ. Nobody cares about your opinion, you self-admitted piece of shit. I don't care about your fucking cis white male opinion on abuse. Fuck off.
Absolutely.
I'll read it.
Send us. Yeah. AJ will read it in his own voice and apologize profusely.
I will.
Or not.
Yeah. Well, no, because it's cool. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to be as honest and forthcoming as I can. But, like, you might be like, shut up, AJ. Nobody wants to hear from you. Nobody needs to hear your opinion on it. Asshole.
Right. Yeah. It's good notes for the editor, too. You know, I can just take it all out. It'll just be me talking to myself.
AJ
just take
Lewis
out your
episode.
Audio completely.
You just have me go, like, got it.
Yeah, I'll just have your reactions. That's it.
Perfect. Oh, my God.
Perfect. Yep. Yeah. Or you can send us an email, shamecast.official@gmail.com. You know, send us an email.
Come on, guys.
Come
do
on.
Do we have to do a free lunch raffle again?
Remember that?
Yes, we never free got lunch that lunch. Raffle. I forget who that was.
Oh, right. It wasn't a free lunch raffle. It was you buy us
yes,
lunch.
Yes, that's the raffle. If you win, you got to buy
somebody
us lunch.
Somebody bought us lunch.
No, they didn't though, right?
I thought they did.
Are you sure?
Well, I'm pretty sure they bought us lunch.
I remember we were like, we have a winner, but I don't know if we ever got, we were like, it's probably our fault. We're like, we'll let you know. And like never got back to
that's probably true. That feels right. That feels
we're
right.
Sorry, whoever you are.
Yeah. Well, if you want to buy us lunch, send us an email.
Why don't you send us an email? Like, you know who the fuck I am. I owe you lunch.
You can DM. You can also always DM us on shamecast.official if you need to. Or shamecast_official. I'm just confusing people now. Anyway, my Instagram is Brahman_Gale_art. What is yours?
Don't you have another one?
Oh, right. You're right. Trash, Witch, Collective, but there's no I in Witch.
W-Y?
No, it's just the consonants.
Okay, no I. So that was Trash Witch Collective was already taken with an I.
It was! I was so mad!
Oh,
it's
my
fine.
God. Anyway, mine is AJ_Stallone_art. You can see all the paintings I used to make back when I painted.
Well, I can't see anything at all because you blocked me.
I have to figure out how to unblock you. Tell me what you think of my recent work. We also, are we going to talk about the possibility of a guest?
Oh, yeah. I don't know who it's going to be all right,
well,
first.
Whatever. We won't get into specifics on the air. I hope you get a word in. I'm sorry. It'd be two fucking guys who love to hear themselves talk the whole episode.
I mean, that's every podcast, so it's fine. The fact that I'm here is actually pretty scary. you're the next Joe Rogan,
what
AJ.
What a nice guy. Yeah, I let Brahma hang out here and say things.
What a nice guy.
She gets to fact check and everything. She edits. I'm empowering women, you know?
You can fuck right off.
Ugh, yes, I can.
Good night and good luck, AJ.
Yes.
Good night and good luck.
I appreciate you. You're the best.
Oh, you're saying that to me or the audience?
You. Audience, send us a fucking email and maybe I'll.
The audience has to show that they're listening. The only one that does that ever is Nick. That's it.
Yes.
And Kelly used to.
Kelly still listens. She'll send it.
But now she won the jackpot.
Yeah, she gets to sit in while I'm recording now. We'll talk about that next time. It's, you know?
Real gift.
It really is. You know, it's. I try to. I'm a giver. I'm a giver.
We're done. All right. We're done. We're closing it out.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night. Bye.